To live is Christ, to die is gain. That ought to be the cry of our hearts. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the things of this world, we don't want to leave it, but I promise you, dear friend, you can't imagine the glories that God has in store for those that love Him.
Amen.
I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew, the 9th chapter. I told you a moment ago we were going to have a short message tonight. Of course, that's relative. So some of you are probably figuring anything less than an hour is probably pretty good for you, Brother Isaac. Is this one of those pot and kettle things right now? Just seems like it might be. Yeah, I haven't had anybody tell me sometimes you worry about how long you preach, but it's been a long time since somebody said you just preach as long as the Lord wants you to. Don't say that to me anymore, Brother Ted. I don't know what happened. But our text tonight, as we continue in our study of the Gospels, trying chronologically the best that we can to go through all four of the Gospels, kind of a harmony of the Gospel study. We come to Matthew 9 and verses 27 to 34, and I love how God works things out all the time, and we don't see it all the time, but God is always working things out. I love it when we see it. And it was quite some time ago that we had talked about putting on the calendar a special prayer service and just kind of pick this Sunday night. We're getting ready to go to camp, and you know, the school year's over, summer's in full swing now, and it seemed like it would be a good time for us to spend some extra time in prayer. And then, you know, at that time, I had no idea what I would be preaching tonight, but as I studied this week for the message, what an amazing thing how God works it out. But Matthew 9, verses 27 28, 29, 30, and 31. If you're able, let's stand to honor the Word of God tonight. I hope you're thankful for the Word of God. It is truth, and it is life. And sometimes we forget how precious it is. So no matter how weary your flesh is tonight, I pray you'll leave that aside for a moment. And let the Spirit take control, because the Spirit is willing. Matthew 9 and verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us to be convicted by your Spirit tonight. Help us to be reminded tonight of the power of prayer. The power of our Savior, Jesus Christ, not only to heal physical blindness, but God, to save us from spiritual blindness. Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes and help us to see and understand and obey tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying. I think sometimes when we look into the Bible, we don't pay attention to the words quite closely enough. But these men were following Jesus. They somehow had heard that Jesus was in the area. They knew some of the things that had been going on. You'll remember that Jesus had just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and that the fame thereof spread abroad. And so everybody everywhere heard that Jesus has raised this girl from the dead, and the fame has gone around. And when he left that area to go somewhere else, these blind men heard that Jesus was passing by, and they heard where he was, and they followed him. Now, imagine following somebody when you're blind. I mean, today we have all kinds of things. We have service dogs that help lead blind people around. We have nifty little sticks that they use to get around. And we have Braille everywhere. If you go into a building, you can use an elevator if you're blind. You can cross the street at the corner if you're blind. There are things around to help people, but this is not that day. In this day, there's nothing to help a blind person. By the way, that's probably why they were together. There was more safety in numbers that they could help one another. But they heard what was going on, and they heard about Jesus Christ, and they heard that he was passing by, and somehow they knew it was Jesus, and they were following him, and they were crying out. I don't know when the last time you cried out to God is. But I want to tell you, dear friend, things happen when you cry out to Jesus. Amen. Our prayer lives many times are just rote memory. I'm not saying it's wrong to repeat words. I think that's okay. Jesus said when you pray, we know he said after this manner pray, but in Luke he actually says when you pray, say this. It's not wrong to repeat the prayer the Lord gave to his disciples. It's not wrong to repeat the words. But it's wrong when the repetition is vain. And I'm afraid too many times when we pray, it's vain repetition. We say the same words that we always say. And I'm afraid that when we pray, there's no real heart behind it. It's just saying words. You say, well, prayer, that's just talking to God. Well, it is just talking to God, but you're talking to God. And we are wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. And we're crying out to a holy God who has everything and who is everything. Amen. And when we pray, we ought to be crying out. They follow Jesus crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Now you need to understand, when they called him the Son of David, this was huge. When we read over this, sometimes we don't realize the importance of this. But to be the Son of David, what they recognized was that he was of the royal lineage of David. Amen. They realized that he was the rightful king. They were recognizing his royalty. And I believe that they were seeing something more than that, because God promised that he would give David a throne that would last forever. And that there would be one who would be established on that throne whose kingdom would never end. And these men had an idea of who Jesus was. Did they know exactly who he was? Did they believe on him with all their heart? Were they saved at this point? I don't know, but they knew something about him. They didn't say Jesus. They said, "Thou Son of David." They qualified who they were talking about when they said, "Thou Son of David." And they cried out for the only thing any of us could ever hope to get: mercy. Amen. The problem with most people today, spiritually, is that they don't know that they're blind. Amen. You see, a lot of times, somebody who's born blind, they don't know anything but blindness, and as they grow up, and people have been able to achieve amazing feats with blindness. Especially people who are born blind, because they don't know. They don't know that there's anything wrong. They've never known anything but the darkness. And spiritually, you know that there are people like that today. They go through their life as though nothing is wrong. They don't even know that they're blind. They don't even realize that there is a problem. But these men knew that there was something wrong. They knew that there was something that needed help. They knew that they had no hope, and they knew that they desperately needed mercy. Mercy is not earned. Mercy, by definition, cannot be deserved. And they cried out to the Son of David that he would have mercy. It reminds me greatly of an account in Mark chapter 9 that I think about often. This man had a son who was demon-possessed. He went to the disciples, and the disciples were unable to help. You remember? Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief. He was kind of getting fed up with his own disciples that they did not have the faith that they ought to have. Jesus said unto the man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I can relate. You see, in our text, we see the cry of the blind. And we need to understand today, you say, well, preacher, I'm saved, so I'm not blind anymore. And praise God if you are saved, but you got saved because you understood you were blind and you cried out to Jesus for mercy. That's the only way you can ever get rid of your spiritual blindness. But it just serves as another example that we greatly need the mercy of God, and we should never stop crying out to Jesus for mercy. I once was blind, but now I see. But I am not conformed to the image of Christ. I'm not all that he wants me to be. I still struggle with sin and temptation, and the trials beset me. We are oppressed on the outside. We have trials and tribulations within and without, and we constantly need the mercy of God in our lives. And the only way it's going to come is when we cry out to him. So we see the cry of the blind, but then we see the question of belief. And Jesus says to these men, they followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 28 says, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? You see, there's always the question of belief. When it comes to praying, there's always going to be the question of belief. When you go to God in prayer, do you believe he's able? You see, Jesus said, ask my Father believing and you'll receive what you ask. Ask believing in my name and you'll receive. Ask believing. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You're going to find when you study prayer in your Bible that faith is an absolute essential. Amen. I don't want to discourage anybody tonight, but if you pray without faith, you're wasting your time. So these men follow Jesus crying out, have mercy on us. And when they get to where Jesus is, he simply says, believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, yea, Lord. And I want you to know tonight, friends, that it's easy to say that we have faith. I have faith. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Nobody wants to say yes. See, it's easy to say you believe. But look at this. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now stop reading. Don't cheat. He touched their eyes. This man and this man. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, some of you already know the end of the story, but if you didn't, you might not know. If you were there, you might not know. I don't know if you're aware of this, but blind people look like people who can see. A lot of times their eyes, unless you inspect closely, you can see no difference. To everyone around them, they might not have known whether it worked or not. It all depended on how they believed. Because what Jesus said was, according as you have believed, be it unto you. Amen. Do you believe? Yes, we believe. It's easy to say that, but Jesus was going to expose their real faith. He was going to expose their real belief. Whatever they really believed about Jesus was going to be known. And friend, the same thing is true for us today. When you get on your knees before God and you cry out to God and with tears you plead with God for mercy and you pray for something, you're going to find out whether your faith is real or not by the results. Oh, you're preaching name it and claim it. No, this is the wrong church for that. We obviously know that when we pray in God's will. We pray for his will to be done, and nothing that you pray outside of the will of God or the word of God is ever going to be done. But when we pray inside the will of God and we pray with faith, God will bless. They cried out and they said they believed, and Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And verse 30 says, and their eyes were opened.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? You believe? Yes. All right, fine. According to your belief, according to how you believe, that's what's going to be done. Friends, this example is seen time after time after time in your Bible. If you'll study it, you'll find that people's faith was rewarded to them. Jesus told Jairus, don't doubt, don't be afraid, only believe, and his daughter was raised to life again. The centurion's servant, Jesus, he didn't even want Jesus to come to his house. So he said, I'm not worthy that you'd come even to my house. But he believed, and it was done according as he believed. And over and over and over again, I'm afraid that our problem is twofold. The greatest problem we have of unanswered prayer is we have unasked prayer. We sing songs like Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I'd be ashamed to ask how many of us have spent an hour in prayer in the last year. I'd be ashamed to ask how many of us pray without ceasing. I'd be ashamed to find out how many of us actually pray every day. And it ought to be that everybody here, we don't go a moment without being in communication with the Lord, that our heart and mind are always directed towards the Lord. How do you pray without ceasing? Listen, all of you, hard as it is to believe, have things running around in your mind all the time. Some of you have constant ongoing monologue in your head with yourself. And I'd be terrified to hear it. Praying without ceasing is turning that inner monologue and directing it to God as prayer. That every thought, every emotion, every feeling, every thing that's in your mind and heart, you direct towards God. Pray without ceasing. And when we have unanswered prayer because we have unasked prayer. And secondarily, when we ask, we rarely believe. I stand before you guilty. I don't doubt God's ability, but so many times I doubt his willingness. But friends, remember, we're not crying out for what we deserve. We're asking for mercy.
Amen.
And he is a merciful God whose mercy endures forever. So don't doubt him. Don't doubt his ability. None of you would be so bold as to doubt his ability. But don't doubt his mercy. Don't doubt his love for you. Don't doubt his love for your family. Don't doubt his love for your situation. He cares for us. He cared for those blind men. When he heard their cry, I promise you, listen, it grieved the heart of Jesus to hear their cry. He is a loving Savior. And when you cry out to him, when you cry out to Jesus, it moves his heart.
Amen.
And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. I told you last week, I still don't have this figured out, and I still don't have it figured out. In Mark chapter 1, he talks about Jesus told some people he had done miracles, and he said, don't tell anybody. They went out and told everybody, and it got to the place, to the point where he could not go into the city anymore. He could no longer minister in the city because the crowds got so bad. That's the only reason I can come up with in all the Bible why Jesus told people, don't tell anybody. The only other thing that I can even think of or fathom is that these were physical healings and Jesus had a spiritual purpose. It wasn't about the loaves and fishes. It wasn't about physical ailments. It was about spiritual blindness. It wasn't about physical death. It was about spiritual death. And maybe he didn't want the focus to be so much on all that. I don't know. But here's what's amazing to me. And we see it over and over again. Jesus said, see that no man know it. And what did they do? They, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. He says, don't tell anybody. They go tell everybody. And what do we have today? Command after command after command after command to go and tell everybody. But is his fame spreading abroad in all our country? No, because we have people who have been cured of not physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. We have people who have been brought to life, not physical death to life, but spiritual death to spiritual life, and we don't want to tell anybody. You know what we need? We need to cry out to Jesus for mercy. Amen. We're going to have a verse invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Are you spiritually blind tonight? You need to cry out to Jesus for mercy. You need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can save. Only He can give light and life. If you're saved and you've not been the witness you ought to be, we've got a commandment to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And we're not going. And we're not preaching. You know what we need to do? We need to cry out to Jesus for mercy. If He's convicting your heart tonight about anything, I invite you to come while we sing.
Page 530.